huddle up.
66 HitchX Vegas Flair. I'm one ready.
It's time to break down the boldest plays.
Let's go, baby. Boom.
Hardest hits. Boom. And the craziest stories from around the NFL.
Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Fire the cannons.
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
Got a good Sunday ahead. It is Sunday Huddle with a good packed slate of NFL football. We got you up until 11 a.m. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you're enjoying your Sunday ride. My name is Colin Russo. Join alongside me, it's Cade Chumsen behind the glass. We're at the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. We're streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter / X at ESPN West Palm. Presented by Hard Rock Bet. Well, you got all these games today. You got college basketball. You got the college football. The 12-team playoff starts next weekend, next Friday and Saturday. So you got all this stuff that you're going to be watching anyway. You might as well sprinkle a little action on the app. Go down the app for free on the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store. Put just $5 into the app. You bet $5, you win that $5 bet. You get $150 deposited into your account as a bonus bet immediately. It's that easy. And then once you get into the app, and once you really get a feel for the interface, go check out the Discover page, see what other users are putting together, and you can tap and tag along on their parlays, even if you don't even know what to put together in terms of your parlay. Do player props, do game by game, futures, live bet, you name it, they got it. Hard Rock Bet, try today. Offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida, must be 21 plus. Physically present in Florida, the wager. Terms, conditions apply. If you or somebody you know has a gambling problem, please call 1-833-PLAY-WISE. So, Gabe, we got a lot of things to tackle today. A good slate of NFL football. Probably the biggest game of the day, I would have to say, is that Patriot-Bill game, because a lot is riding on the life of the Bills' chance to get that division. They're two games back, but that head-to-head, obviously they could crawl back in to within a game if they win today. Packers-Broncos is another highlight game in Mile High today. Packers coming off a great win against Chicago last week, and the Broncos, who continuously win close and are on a 10-game win streak to this point in the season. So before we get into that Buffalo and Patriot game, first things first, you got to make sure you're covered with health insurance. You got to make sure your insurance is at top of the line. That's why you got to go to Florida Blue, because open enrollment is here. Now through January 15th, you can get quality health coverage through the marketplace in Florida Blue. Is ready to help. Enroll by December 15th for coverage starting with on January 1st. With new government rule changes, you got to choose the right plan that matters more than ever to you and your family. Visit one of the 12 Florida Blue Look centers here in South Florida or call 877-352-5830. That's Florida Blue, helping you achieve better health. Are we out on the Bills' opportunity to potentially get that division? Are we grasping at straws here? That they could potentially get back into it, because the Bills are favored in this game. The Bills are favored at Foxborough against a Patriot team that is coming off of a bye. So clearly Vegas knows something, and they're under the impression that the Bills are going to play really well today in Foxborough. Maybe the Patriots are due to lose one. They're 5-2 at home. Both of their losses have come on home field. They're undefeated on the road. I don't think I'm on the other side of this, Cade. I don't think the Bills are going to win today, number one. And number two, I don't know if similar to the Broncos, he's like, well, the schedule, you know, they play teams tight. They win games. And they win games tight. They can win big. Last time we saw them was that Monday Night Football game against the Giants. The Patriots looked unstoppable. I know it's the Giants, but they looked unstoppable. The Bills have bled a lot more in terms of their performances recently. So I'm not sure if I'm buying into the idea that the Bills should be favored into this game, number one. Number two, I'm ready to say that They're playing for a wild card spot in the AFC, not the division.
I'm almost on the same page, because the way I see it, the Bills, I feel like, have the bigger ceiling, but the lowest floor. The Patriots just know how to play good, high and tight football.
Right.
And so that's what happened last time these teams played on Sunday Night Football. I think Vegas is maybe looking at that explosive offensive performance of 39 points against the Bengals. But that Bengals, you could argue, is the worst defense in the NFL. So, yep. Like, everyone's going to do that against them.
And
the
Jets
did that against them.
Joe Burrow threw two game losing interceptions. The Bengals had them that game. They had them.
Correct.
28-24, Burrow had the ball. And he threw a go-ahead pick six. So that wasn't necessarily the Bills, you know, taking control of that game. That was Burrow kind of blundering it. So I don't buy. And even Even the Steeler game where they won big, that the Steelers were terrible in that game. The Bills didn't even look good either. This is a team that hasn't played that well. And then we go to that Texan game on Thursday Night Football, what was that, 2.5 weeks ago?
Yep.
Where offensively, I know the Bills had a chance at the end, but they were terrible.
Yes.
They were terrible. They were really bad in the game. I know it's a great defense, but I don't know if I'm here. But the one thing about the Bills that you said, they're going to be dangerous. And I don't think any team that is going to win their division is going to want to deal with Buffalo coming into their building. Because outside of the Bills, there is not a lot of playoff experience throughout the AFC. As the playoff picture stands today, your top four division winners are going to be the Steelers, Jags, Patriots, Broncos. And then your wild cards are going to be the Texans, the Bills, and the Chargers. That's not a lot of playoff experience. And if you were to sign up, yes, nobody wants to see the Texans, but if you were to sign up for one of those three wildcard teams, the Bills are up there too, because in the playoff spot, Allen is an excellent postseason player. So if anything, I think the Bills are very suited to be a spoiler on that wildcard weekend if they're traveling somewhere, because let's say they're the top seed or the 5 or the 6, they're going to be playing Jacksonville that first game, or the winner of the AFC South, I should say. It'll be a heck of a game. So I don't, and then on the other side with the Patriots, The thing about them that everybody wants to give them flack for, their strength of schedule, 0.351, 35% win on the opposition. Strength of victory is 0.352, both bottom in the conference. The bottom in the entire conference. The only other one who has bad strength of schedule that is below the fours, I should say, you want to take a hard guess? Denver. How about that? So the strength of victory, and the which means the you beat good teams, and the strength of schedule, which means your opponents are winning games. The two worst in the league are the two tops in the conference at 11-2 with the Broncos and the Patriots. Is that phony? Are we coming behind in a conspiracy here? Are these teams a little phony?
Not phony for making the playoffs, but when the brightest lights are on them and they have to play the good teams.
Are we going to trust these teams?
I have the same exact question.
I don't know if I trust these teams, because the thing about the Patriots is the Patriots have looked a lot more formidable than the Broncos, and they both have second-year quarterbacks that are both going to be playing Bo Nix's second career playoff start, and last year he got throttled by Buffalo. And then the Patriots, on the other hand, Mays never played in a playoff game. So
let me ask you this, Colin. If they were to play if either of those two teams were to play the Rams right now, who would you take?
First of all, the Rams would be favored by 3 points. Second of all, I would take the Rams.
Yeah.
Why? Because of experience. I trust McVay in a bigger game than I trust Vrabel and or Sean Payton. And I trust Stafford in a big game more than I trust May and definitely Bo Nix. Now, the defense is great with the Rams. They're not as great potentially as the Broncos. You know, the Patriots are sort of up there as well, not as good as either of those two teams. But offensively, the Rams check all the boxes. They have a good running attack. They have multiple running backs. They have a good offensive line. They have a great quarterback. They have a great play caller. They have two elite wide receiver talents that both do two different things. Davante Adams is a perfect red zone threat, and Puka Nacua is a big, slot after the catch type of guy. But if we're talking about the tops of each conference right now, and what you'll see today, Broncos and Patriots and Jags are technically the top three in the AFC versus the top three in the NFC, Rams, Packers, Eagles.
Huge. Titans.
A substantial difference, in my opinion, in terms of the quality of those teams in a big game. Now, everybody wants to talk crap about how bad the Eagles have played, and they have played terrible. The one thing about them is their strength of schedule and their strength of victory is higher than anybody else in that conference. So they've beaten the best teams. Better yet, I'll raise that. Their strength of victory is better than anybody else in the NFL.
Mm.
It's 0.514. So they've beaten the best teams in the NFL. They beat the
keep this. So what you're saying, with just so everyone's clear, when you're saying 0.514, you're saying that the average record of their opposing teams is above 500.
It's above 500. That's what that means.
Which is crazy. That means you're playing more winning teams than you are losing teams.
That's right. And their strength of schedule, 0.538. So that means the teams they play are also well above 500.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this is for an Eagle team that has not looked good, has lost 3 in a row. But outside of that, offensively, they have a lot of issues. Let's not forget that they've beaten the Lions. They've beat the Packers at the Packers. They beat the Rams. And they came back against the Rams. Came back down two possessions in the fourth quarter against the Rams. Beat the Chiefs at the Chiefs when the Chiefs were playing good. I'm not out on the Chiefs. It's funny. I'm talking about how I'm out on the Bills. I'm not out on the Eagles.
Interesting.
I'm not out yet.
Even with that four interception game.
Terrible. Terrible. Now, it's clear that the thing they need to fix is just the less Jalen Hurts throws the ball, the better off everybody is.
Truly.
Not to protect him, but like he's always going to be a 20 to 25 attempt guy. He is never going to be a 45, 40 attempts in a football game type of throw.
He shouldn't have to be either.
He shouldn't have to be. That's a run-first football team. It should always be a run-first football team. They have bad out. We talked to Mike Tannenbaum on Friday, the ESPN NFL insider, the former general manager of the New York Jets. He said the one thing about them is everybody wants to go quickly to the offensive coordinator who has his issues, or Jalen Hurts, or even Saquon Barkley. The big problem is their offensive line is hurt. Their offensive line has been hurt. They're missing Mekhi Becton, who went over to the Chargers, and he's been terrible. Lane Johnson hasn't been playing. Cam Jurgens is not Jason Kelce. What used to be the most formidable offensive line in football, they have they're just a little beat up there. So I don't know. The weird thing is, I think the thing we're dancing around is the AFC especially wide open. I'd actually make the argument outside of the Rams, the NFC is takeable too. The NFC's got more good teams in their top seven comparatively to the AFC.
Correct.
AFC, the teams are all good. Let me rephrase. The teams are all good. But that 5, 6, 7 of Seattle, San Francisco, and Chicago, in my opinion, has looked a lot better than the Chargers, Bills, and the Texans. Now, the Texans might look better than anybody else, but the Texans, one problem with them is they have a glaring issue, and it's on one side of the ball. And the offense is not good. And you're a Texan fan, so you see this. They have an otherworldly talented defense.
I bite my fingernails every time
you want to be. You want the other team to be on offense. You watch the games hoping that the other team's on offense because then you can actually enjoy watching the game.
Like every time the Texans are on offense, it is wear down the clock just so the other team doesn't have as much time because I know we're not. I know the team isn't going to score.
You don't like when your team's on offense. That's crazy. That's crazy. You get more excited when your team is defending than you do when on offense. So I mean that NFC playoffs is going to be a gauntlet of juggernauts with the Rams, Packers, Eagles. And here's another thing we got to touch on before we get to the Bill game. Panthers right now are technically slotted to win that division. Are you believing it?
Yes.
You're in?
I'm here for it.
Now, let me just say this. I know the Panthers. I know how they operate.
Yes.
They're coming off a bye. I don't know what to make of this.
This is the first time they've been coming off. They've been every other for
every
the
other
last
week, and I don't know. And I don't know what happens. I don't know if the bye counts. If it counts as a bad week, if it counts as a good week, they're coming off their best week. They're at the Saints. If they're coming off the bad week, they're going to lose. Because then remember they have the Buccaneers next week,
and then they have it every other after that.
Correct. Play two in the last 3 weeks.
Which means they're going to do the same thing to the Bucs both times if that's the pattern that's going on right now.
Yeah, I don't love this. I'm going to be honest. I can't get a read on this Panther game. Part of me thinks they're going to play well, but would it not be football gods to have the Panthers lose this game and have them and the Broncos be tied for the division into next week's game?
What helps, didn't the Saints win this game the first time? Yes.
They did.
Saints won this game.
Yep.
So if we're going with the every other pattern.
Yeah, they're not going to get swept. Hope.
That's what I'm thinking.
You'd hope.
Now, the one caveat to this massive Panthers upset of a division is that their Week 17 game is the Seahawks, while the Week 17 game for the Bucs is the Dolphins.
Yeah. So the Buccaneers have an easier schedule. Granted, they have two head-to-heads. The head-to-heads are going to decide that division. The head-to-heads. If they, knowing this, they'd split, and then they'd have the same record, and then we'd go conference record from there. But
it wouldn't matter because if the Panthers win, they're a full game up.
If they win today, correct?
Yes.
Right. But they could also lose one of the next two and then drop the Seattle game, whereas the Buccaneers could win two of their last three and then they'd still be tied. I don't know how I read Carolina. See, if Carolina's on the 1 week on, 1 week off, that means they're going to play well today. They're going to lose both of the Buccaneer games and they're going to beat the Seahawks.
That's the most Panthers thing I've ever heard.
They don't win the important game, but they
surprise you. Can we agree to this? Because this is another thing I'm thinking.
What?
Even though this is probably the least talked about division in sports right now because it seems like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are on a free fall.
Yep.
Either of those two teams is a spoiler in that playoff picture.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't know about
Tampa. No, I'm not saying they're going to win.
I trust you with Tampa Bay. I agree with Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay's been there, and they've won playoff games before. Remember, they beat the Eagles 2 years ago at Raymond James in the first round, in the wild card round. It's an underrated good postseason team. Remember, the Baker did it when he was on the Browns, and he took down the Steelers.
Yep.
Basically sent Roethlisberger into retirement. Carolina, the one thing about it is Carolina's going to get a home game.
Yes.
They're going to get a home game. You're going to have San Francisco or something like that.
They've beaten the Rams at home. They've beaten the Cowboys at home.
Yep.
And they've been competitive in a lot of other games.
If it were to end today, they would have the Seahawks at home. If it were to end today, and they play the Seahawks.
I think that's doable. What I'm saying is
there's something
that
haunted. There's something haunted about that team. When you get them on their good week, it's haunted. You have no chance.
What I'm saying is that is not going to be a chalk game for whoever's playing them. I think whoever plays the AFC North in that first, the AFC North is an easy dub.
That's the steamroll.
Yes. I don't think that about the NFC South.
Wow. So you're not high on the NFC South. I mean, I guess you're higher on the NFC South than you are the AFC North.
Correct. The two 500 teams, one of them happens to win the division.
I'm a big Carolina fan. You know that. I'm a big Carolina guy, but I don't know about that.
Okay.
I don't know if I trust Bryce Young. I mean, the thing about it is they could run the ball, football. They got a good offense. Bryce Young's a big question mark, but he's had a pretty good year. I don't know. I can't get a read on them. They're 7-6. Their points allowed and points for it. Their differential's minus 50. Because they gotten blown out so many times on their bad weeks.
Yes.
They got blown out. You know, they didn't get blown out, but they lost easy against the 49ers. They got absolutely steamrolled by the Bills when they lost 40-9.
Same thing with the Patriots, 42-13.
Got destroyed. So their differential's not good, but it doesn't even matter because they're one team on, one team off.
Correct.
So the big question of today is, can Carolina get a full game lead before they play Tampa Bay 2 and 3 weeks coming up? And the other side of things, will the Bills still have an outside shot at the division if they win today? Because if they win today, they got a pretty easy schedule. They still have to deal with the Eagles, but they got the Browns and the Jets outside of that. Patriots, on the other hand, you know, they still have to deal with the Ravens, who haven't played very well, but still. So we'll see. I think this is the Patriots division to lose. I buy into the Patriots more than I buy into the Broncos, but that is the big game of the day. That and the Mile High matchup between an NFC Titan and an AFC Titan in the Broncos and the Packers. But in the meantime, that's Cade Chums and Colin Russo. Let's look ahead at Week 15, because Week 15's got a lot of good slates, and let's do our quick look ahead presented by Jay Zolo and Associates.
Time now for a quick look, presented by the QuickBooks Pro Experts at Jay Zolo and Associates. Since 1997, Jay Zolo and Associates has been helping Palm Beach County businesses with their accounting and bookkeeping needs. From expert QuickBooks services to getting your business finances in order, their team has the knowledge and experience to help.
All right, Week 15, quick look ahead, presented by Jay Zolo and Associates, that leading certified QuickBooks Pro advisor firm. All right, Week 15 has got a lot on the docket. Starting things off, we haven't seen them play since Week 1 in Sao Paulo, Brazil. But the Chargers and the Chiefs are going head-to-head once again. The Chiefs, who, mind you, 5-2 at home. And the Chargers, who played well, but it has looked pretty recently for Justin Herbert and company. And the Chiefs, this is it. You have an outside shot as it stands today. I wouldn't say you're completely eliminated, but they're good at home. I could see the Chiefs playing competitively today. I think that will be a competitive game. The Chiefs are favored by 6 points. On top of that, you got the Bills and the Patriots, the aforementioned Bill Patriot game. The Patriots have, they're two of their losses on the entire season. Both came at home. The Bills come into town. The Bills are actually favored in this game. The Bills, mind you, are 3-3 on the road, 9-4 overall. Josh Allen, this is probably your last-ditch effort to try to get a look at the division title. If they lose this game, you're looking at that wild card. You're preparing to play that first round of the postseason on the road. But if they want that home game to start things off, they're going to have to beat the Patriots today. You get a good one lined up in Foxborough. The Texans, who are rolling and riding high still, dominating their opponents defensively, are favored by 10 points today against the Cardinals, who are 3-10. Texans got an outside shot at the AFC South. A lot of tiebreakers have to go up back and forth on that between them and Jacksonville. We'll keep an eye on that. Packers go to the Broncos today. The Broncos, who are 6-0 at home at Mile High Stadium. Jordan Love, Bo Nix, both these teams have been a little erratic, but the Broncos have closed every game that they've played basically all year since those first three games of the year. And the Packers, on the other hand, are probably playing their best football now. They had a great win against Chicago in Lambeau last week. They play Chicago again next week on Saturday night. They probably need this game for the record because that NFC North is going to be very competitive towards the top, and wins and losses are going to matter, especially when the Packers got a tie to their name. Lions go to the Rams today. Last time we saw the Lions was on Thursday Night Football, where they played great against the Dallas Cowboys, another team with an outside shot looking in on the wild card of the postseason. They're sort of odd man out right now. Not only do they need other people to lose, they need to continue to win. They lose this game, you're in a lot of trouble for potentially making the postseason, because you'd have to win your last three at a minimum. On top of that, the Colts, Phillip Rivers, we haven't talked about that yet. Phillip Rivers might potentially will be suiting up. I don't think they've announced it yet, but it looks like he's going to play against the Seahawks. Seahawks 10-3, 4-2 at home. Colts on the road, they're in a little bit of free fall. Not only have they lost control of the AFC South, but they might be losing control of their playoff hopes. A lot of trouble there, especially with Daniel Jones out for the season with an Achilles injury. And the night game tonight is Vikings-Cowboys. And not a barn burner, let's put it that way. J.J. McCarthy going to AT&T Stadium. Now, the one thing is the Cowboys are really good at home, and they're much better at home than they are on the road, and the Vikings are a little erratic. If that defense shows up, they could be in the game, but if they're going to rely on J.J. McCarthy to win the game, I do not like their chances. That's Week 15. That's what you have on the slate today for NFL football. That's our quick look presented by Jay Zolo and Associates, the leading certified QuickBooks Pro advisor firm. We'll do a little headline hierarchy. We got to break down the three Florida State championship games for high school football, the three teams that have been here in Palm Beach County, the Treasure Coast. You have three big stories that we're going to get into on the other side of things. Stay tuned for it. Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet and ESPN 106.3.
Let's go. Double right, scat right, double cowboy. Double right, scat right, double cowboy.
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
You know, we haven't seen world number one, world number two on the same golf course together really since the Ryder Cup. And now you got an opportunity to see it not only in here in Palm Beach County, but up in Jupiter coming up December 17th this week at Trump National Golf Club in Jupiter. You got the Optum Golf Channel Games. First of its kind. It's going to be on USA Network and the Golf Channel. What is it? All right, well, two different teams. Team McElroy versus Team Scheffler. You got Luke Donald. You got Shane Lowry joining on Rory's team. And the other side of things, you got Keegan Bradley, the Ryder Cup captain, will also join Scheffler alongside Sam Burns, some other guys as well. So you got that. It's going to be more of an arcadey style of golf. So you're only using a couple courts, a couple holes, and they're going to do a time drive competition. They're going to do time short game competition, a 14 club elimination challenge. So when you use a certain club on a hole, you got to get rid of it. You can't use it anymore. A time shootout, which is the most interesting one, in my opinion. You're going to have four guys lined up all on the course. One person tees off. The other person has to run under the fairway and take that second shot quickly. You go onward and onward until you get that ball in that cup. And the faster team wins. Stuff like that is the things you can expect at the Optum Golf Channel Games. It's going to be an intimate environment. So because of that, you're going to see these guys up close and personal up there in Jupiter on December 17th. You could still go get tickets. General admission sales are just $81. Go to thegolfchannelgames.com to check it out today. That's thegolfchannelgames.com. That's the Optum Golf Channel Games coming up on December 17th. Colin Russo, Cade Chumsen, Sunday Huddle, presented by Hard Rock Bet and ESPN 106.3. Let's do a little headline hierarchy.
Five mystery storylines from the National Football League.
I thought this would be purposeful on Cade's part.
One Colin Russo hoping to not bury the lead.
This is not a big-time headline.
It's time for the Headline Hierarchy on Sunday Huddle, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
Yes, sir, we got a good one for you, Colin. And this time, I'm not even going to let you pick the top ones because I got some stories to tell straight from FIU Stadium down in Miami for the FHSAA High School Football State Championships. Classes 7A through 1A, we had three from Palm Beach County and the Treasure Coast make it down to the big dance, the most we've had in quite some time, Colin. On Thursday, we got things fired up with Cardinal Newman versus Chaminade Madonna. On Friday, West Boca going for back-to-back against West Broward. And then on Saturday night, we had Vero Beach versus Lake Mary. At number three on our list for our headline hierarchy is going to be the West Boca game because, let's be honest, This team had it from start to finish, 31-0. West Boca dominates.
Yeah, no competition.
West
there.
Broward. Javion Mallory, if you remember from last year when West Boca won it, he was not available, had an injury the second half of the season. He gets his first play. He gets his first playing action in the state championship. How about 126 yards with three touchdowns? Man was unstoppable.
You're in Miami next year. We'll see him there.
Exactly. Trey Moran at the quarterback position also had 133 yards rushing. This team rushed the ball 41 times for 308 yards. Unstoppable performance. The defense was all over. Had a fumble recovery for a touchdown. The West Boca Bulls dominating. They go back to back after being nowhere in the football universe for most of their history. Coach Dylan Potts comes in his fourth season. He's won two state championships. That's number three on our headline hierarchy. Number two, Cardinal Newman against Chaminade Madonna. For those who don't know the dominance of Chaminade, they have made the state championship the last 9 years straight and have won the last four in a row. One of the premier powerhouses of high school football in the country.
Yep.
Cardinal Newman making their first ever state championship appearance, and that defense came to play. 7-7 at halftime. Quarterback Jaron Hewley, the senior who's committed to West Virginia. Signed for West Virginia, yes, sir. He makes a huge throw in the second half, the third quarter, to Ethan Holland for a touchdown. That gets the game to 17-14. Massive kick by Nathaniel Parks. Gets it a two-score game, 17-7. A touchdown late by Chaminade would make it close, but not enough. Cardinal Newman shocks the world by taking down what Max Preps had as their 21-ranked team in the country on Thursday. Colin, were you watching this right before Russo and Rizzo? Did you?
I did see it. It was a big surprise. You know, it's like taking David versus Goliath in a way. And it's funny because Cardinal Newman doesn't lose to anybody in Palm Beach County.
Correct.
They dominate the competition. They bring in schools from all over the country. They'll travel to Tampa. They'll go up to Georgia. They'll bring teams down from Philly. They'll play anybody outside of Palm Beach County. And they've never been afraid to play any other team. But they were still the David in this fight.
Correct.
They were still that much of an underdog, so to speak, because of that's how good Chaminade Madonna is. There are so many NFL players. Jeremiah Smith, most recently, who's on Ohio State. So many great pros, great college players come through that program. Cardinal Newman is also an elite program. But Chaminade Madonna is a college program. That's a college team. And that's just to put into perspective, not the level of surprise, but the impressive nature behind that specific win.
Coach Jack Daniels gets his first state championship with Cardinal Newman, and just an amazing way to start off the week for us here at ESPN West Palm. West Boca wins on Friday, so we're 2-for-2 right now. And then we got Vero Beach versus Lake Mary. If you haven't seen it already, let me tell you a story. So Vero Beach comes out firing. They got Champ Mons back, their sophomore star quarterback who's looking at all these big D1 schools. He comes in at quarterback, immediately laces up that defense with an 80-yard pass to Ephraim White. Vero Beach gets off to an amazing start. They had big play after big play in that first half. Vero Beach with the 21-3 lead at halftime in this game. But Lake Mary kept fighting. They kept getting back into it. Some mistakes by Vero Beach. Fourth quarter, it's 11-27. Early fourth quarter, Lake Mary gets a touchdown with a two-point conversion. 27-19, majority of the fourth quarter. Great defensive stops. We go back and forth. Then, late in the fourth quarter, Vero Beach misses a field goal to go up by two possessions. Lake Mary gets the ball back with about 3 minutes and 40 seconds left in the game. Lake Mary throws an interception to top 63 member Jordan Crutchfield. He's committed to FSU. That was his third interception of the game. He had two interceptions in the first half. He gets his third with about a minute and a half left on the clock. Cardinal Newman with an 8-point lead. Now, Lake Mary has two timeouts. A minute and a half left in the ballgame. Colin, do you have enough time to take three kneel downs with a minute and a half and the other team has two timeouts?
Yeah, you're gonna give them the ball back.
You're gonna give them the ball back. That is what Vero Beach decides to do. They take three kneel downs.
I don't know why you don't run the football. I don't understand.
We'll get to that in a second. But not only did they not take three kneel downs as normal kneel downs, they took them in the shotgun and also tried running backwards a few yards to waste clock. They started it at the 45-yard line, their own 45-yard line. The fourth down play was at their own 20. They lost 25 yards of kneel downs and running backwards to waste clock. Then what they do with about 26 seconds left on the clock, is Ephraim White takes the ball, runs to the back of the end zone, scrambles for a bit, and decides to run out the back of the end zone. 12 seconds left on the clock. They are now only up 27-21. And it was an 8-point ball game. Now it's only a 6-point ball game, but you have to kick it back to Lake Mary and force a Hail Mary to happen. They squib kick it. Lake Mary actually picks it up and runs it a few steps. So now there's only 8 seconds left on the clock, but now they are on the opposing 45-yard line.
And you get one play.
One play to win the ball game. This was our coverage last night. The video was posted afterwards. The radio call from Christian Catt and the coach Jimmy Bell. Lake Mary, one play to try to win their first ever state championship. Check this out.
In the shotgun, 8 seconds to go in the game. Grubbs drops back to pass. This will be the final play of the game. Grubbs, 4, 3, 2, 1. Barring penalty, final play to the 5. Deflected, caught.
He caught the ball, and
he's brought down at the 2-yard line. No, he's not. He's in the end zone for a touchdown. Goodness gracious. It's a caught by Schultz. Lateral to the left side. And in the end zone for a touchdown goes Samarius Brundage Jr. Goodness gracious me, oh my.
Just absolutely insane stuff. So if you weren't watching on our YouTube stream to watch the play happen, the quarterback Noah Grubbs committed to Notre Dame, massive talent in Central Florida where Lake Mary is from. He throws the ball about 4 yards short of the end zone. 4 different Vero Beach guys go up to it to bat it down, and their wide receiver comes up with it, Barrett Schultz. But he's still short of the end zone. He's getting tackled at the 3-yard line. His Lake Mary teammate comes up, TJ Brundage, takes the ball from Schultz, and then runs it in himself. Lake Mary tied the game, extra point, wins it with 0 time left on the clock. Lake Mary wins it 28-27. It was number 1 on SportsCenter top plays last night. It's blowing up on social media right now. Go check it out. It's our pinned tweet on the ESPN Top 63 Twitter page. We are all in disbelief. Last night, Colin, based on the story I've given, your thoughts?
Well, it's the second time I've seen a team kneel it down when the other team has timeouts instead of trying to win the game with a first down. Second time I saw it in a playoff spot. I saw that Fort Pierce Central game a couple weeks ago, and it was one of the more godforsaken finishes I've ever seen in my entire life. Nonetheless, the most impressive part in that entire play is the heads-up nature of this teammate, who, mind you, was in the end zone when this ball was not only deflected backwards to about the 3-4 yard line, and the Lake Mary player catches it. He starts running sort of laterally, trying to get upfield. He's getting caught, and that teammate thinks, oh, this kid's going to get tackled. So he goes up behind him, and he thinks, I could get this ball from him in basically a handoff formation and backward to make it some sort of lateral. I could do this. And he runs around the play to him, and then collects the ball from behind him and is able to run in the end zone. The heads-up nature of that play.
Sophomore, by the way.
Thinking that quickly. Because who doesn't, you know, you get a Hail Mary, you're sitting and watching like everybody else. You're sitting and watching. So to be involved in that play, that kid saved the season. He saved the play. He saved the game. Because you'd all be thinking about what ifs if nobody moved. Nobody moved, he got brought down to the 2. And be like, who would have thought? It's not even a situation where, let's say he wasn't involved in the play and he didn't get that lateral or he didn't get that handoff. He wouldn't be thinking post-game, I could have gotten involved in that play for a lateral. Nobody's thinking that. You know, that's not something you're like, oh, I screwed that up. No. You're acting completely out of that football IQ impulse and is able to get that football. It really is a bizarre play. You've never seen anything like it. Check it out at ESPN Top 63 on socials. You can see the call from Christian Catt, and you can see the actual highlight between Lake Mary and Vero Beach last night. You don't think like that. It's unbelievable how quickly you're like, I could get involved in this play. Credit to that kid. That kid, that was the play of the season. That was the play of his life right there. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And even the quarterback, that was a 50-yard pass. It was short, too. It was short.
Pouring rain, by the way. You can't really see it in the video, but it was pouring rain last night for all of the fourth quarter.
Notre Dame commit. You got to get that to the end zone, first of all. But it worked out. Very fortunate in that regard. If I'm Vero Beach, I wouldn't sleep for a month.
If I'm
that coach, Lenny Jankowski, I'm not sleeping for a month.
It was really... We Theo Dorsey, Christian Catt, Coach Jimmy Bell, and myself were all in the press box completely dumbfounded for about 30 minutes after that game was over.
Yeah, I don't know what
you're... Trying to break down every single part, because basically, another thing that happened is Vero Beach missed an extra point, so it was an 8-point game instead of a 9-point game. Lake Mary got 2 2-point conversions to even get them in that spot. Everything that could have gone right for Lake Mary happened in sequential order in one half.
That's a blunder. You can't let that happen. It's unacceptable in that regard. So how about that? That's the Lake Mary Vero Beach State Championship final play. You can catch at ESPN Top 63. That great highlight. The Hail Mary tip backwards turned into a handoff at the 2-yard line, which allowed Lake Mary to come from behind down 6, make the extra point, and then win the state championship in Class 7A. Download the Hard Rock Bet app today, and you can bet on just about anything. NCAA football, NCAA basketball, NFL, NBA. It's all in one place. Go game by game. Go player props. String together a parlay as little as $1 on the bets. You can do all that on the app. The best is the interface is catered to 2 types of players. The brand new player who doesn't necessarily know how to operate a sportsbook, and the other side of the person who wants to demand a lot out of their sportsbook. That's the type of thing that Hard Rock can cater to you. Bet just $5, get $150 in bonus bets if you win that first $5 bet. Download it now in the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store. Hard Rock Bet offered by the Seminole Tribal Forum. Must be 21 plus. Physically present. Info to the wager. Terms and conditions apply. If you or somebody who knows a gambling problem, please call 1-833-PLAY-WISE. So a very action-packed, football-heavy weekend on the high school side of things with those 3 state championship games with Palm Beach County and the Treasure Coast representation. And very close. Very close to going 3-0. Very close. 2-1. Thank you, Vera, for that. Jeez. I mean, 2-1. You had that. You had it right there. Nonetheless, if you've been in a car accident, truck accident, slip and fall, fell down the stairs, my friend Mark Anajar and Glenn Levine at Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys, they are the type that fight for you. I know with Anajar and Levine, they got my back. They could get yours too, and they don't even charge you unless you win. They work tirelessly to get you the maximum compensation that you deserve. Why settle for just any attorney? Demand the best. Demand Anajar and Levine today, because that's the difference. Take that one phone call. Take back control of your life. Don't wait. Call with a free consultation today. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. Take back control of Anajar and Levine. Kate and I are going to make some picks against the spread with this week's slate of NFL football. That's Blitz in the Book. On the other side of things, it's Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet and ESPN 106.3.
Let's go scatter to west, right, tight. F left. 372 Y-stick Z-spot.
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
Well, next week, you got the Boca Bowl coming into town. Tuesday, December 23rd, the Bush's Boca Raton Bowl of Beans. You heard that right. Louisville Toledo going to be at Flagler Credit Union Stadium down in Boca. That's going to be a 2 p.m. kick on ESPN. You can listen to it right here on ESPN 106.3 and all those great spots. But going to be a huge game, Louisville-Toledo. Love bowl season. A lot of fans traveling into town and a lot of beans to be passed around courtesy of Bush's Baked Beans. So you got that. You got Louisville-Toledo. You got a lot of good football players coming into town for the 12th year of the Boca Bowl. Follow along on Twitter at Boca Bowl or Facebook.com/Boca Bowl for more updates as we get closer, because there are a couple announcements on the horizon of what to expect on the game day atmosphere between Louisville and Toledo for the Bush's Boca Raton Bowl of Beans. That is Tuesday, December 23rd, 2 p.m., Flagler Credit Union Stadium. Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet and ESPN 106.3. You got Colin Russo and Cade Chumsen. So what we do each week when we blitz the book is we take 4 picks. We do 3 against the spread, and we have to draft our picks. Nobody can take the same pick twice. 1 pick is worth 1 point. The second is worth 2. The third is worth 3. And then we take a 4th pick worth 4 points. That is a player prop with a plus money odds. That's what we do when we blitz the book. Let's get to it. Presented by Hard Rock Bet. All right, Cade. So we're blitzing the book. 4 picks. What happened last week?
What happened last week? I went 7 points out of 10. You only got 1 pick, so that was 2 points for you. I still have about a 10-point lead, and I get to pick first. We talked about it earlier, and I'm confident in it. Give me the Carolina Panthers to avenge that loss against the Saints. They are -2.5 on Hard Rock Bet. I don't believe they get swept in this series. I'll take Carolina as my 1-pointer.
A lot of big lines today. One that I have my eye on is actually San Francisco post bye taking down Tennessee. They're favored by 12 points in this one. I think San Francisco off a bye. I think Tennessee also got their win out of the way. They beat the Browns last week. after the two-point conversion blunder by Kevin Stefanski. So I think that San Francisco is going to capitalize on a Tennessee that's not necessarily hunting to get back in the win column like they were last week. San Francisco minus 12 is my first pick.
For my second pick, I'm going to take an underdog. I think Cincinnati can take down the Baltimore Ravens once again. They are underdogs by 2.5 points. It was a really good game on Thanksgiving night last time these teams played. Cincinnati has nothing to play for except for pride. And they're going up against a divisional opponent who is still trying to make a push for that division. I like Joe Burrow to keep putting up points for the Bengals plus 2.5.
My second pick, I don't know why people are overthinking this. I think Dallas minus 5.5 tonight, Sunday Night Football in their building, is a good bet. Why do I think that? I think Minnesota last week, they played fantastic. I don't necessarily trust McCarthy to stack together good starts. And the Cowboys, mind you, last time we saw them, they did not play well on Thursday Night Football. They need this game. They absolutely need this game. It's a must-win situation, and they're good at home. Now, Minnesota, if they can make McCarthy uncomfortable, this game can get out of hand quickly, which is why I'm taking Dallas minus 5.5.
You know, J.J. McCarthy had statistically the worst game in almost NFL history, followed up by his teammate the week afterwards. And then he puts up 31-0 against...
As a best start of his career right after.
So weird. But for my final pick, I'm going to go with another underdog. I think the Detroit Lions are playing for their lives. I like them against the Los Angeles Rams today at plus 6. At least to cover, potentially win. As much as I think the Rams are the best team in the NFL, I think this Detroit team is very desperate on the road today, and I'll take them plus 6 for my final pick.
I don't hate that. I've been high on the big spreads. I'm going to continue with that trend. Jacksonville, see, this goes against every fiber of my being by making this pick. Jacksonville's playing the Jets today at home, 1 p.m. Brady Cook is starting for the New York Jets. Rookie quarterback, just got first-team reps last 2 weeks. Jacksonville has lost to 2 backup quarterbacks this season with Jake Browning and Davis Mills. They do not do well against a backup. This guy's third string. Let's hope that they could cover minus 13.5. They could win this game easy. Jacksonville's playing very underrated. Very under the radar. They've played great recently. They've been able to kind of take care of teams quickly. I do think they'll cover 2 touchdowns today against the spread. That's my 3-pointer.
For my player prop, I want to go back to your Dallas Vikings game. This will be an offensive heavy game, if anything. If you go to the alternative passing yards for Dak Prescott on the Hard Rock Bet app, over 275 yards, you're getting plus 105. I could go over 300 yards if I'm risky, but just for our purposes, I got a lead in our picks game, so I will just take over 275 yards passing for Dak Prescott at plus 105.
And I'm gonna do a Phillip Rivers one. All right, let's just get this out of the
way.
Come
on. Come on. By the way, if you had taken one of my 3 other picks, I was taking Indy plus 14. If you had taken any of my other ones, I was taking Indy plus 14.
Jeez, I don't know about that. I see what you're talking about, but here's the thing. I don't think they've officially announced that Rivers is starting yet. Seattle's under the impression that he's going to be starting today's game. Should I come up with a contingency plan just in case he doesn't start, or should I just go for it with Rivers itself?
You got 2 minutes. Go for a contingency plan. I'm not gonna dock points if our hunch is wrong that he's not starting. So what do you want to go for Rivers?
Passing touchdowns. To record 2, plus 500.
Dude,
that's a good value.
That's
bet.
Phenomenal.
That's a good value bet. So I'm taking that because I want the plus money. If he does not play.
Yes.
If Phillip Rivers does not start, I'm actually gonna stay in that game, but I'm gonna go to the other side of things. Because I do think Seattle, if they play Riley Leonard, are gonna kind of have a field day on the other side of things. And record 80 plus receiving yards. Actually, I don't like any of those odds. To record 65, this is where it's interesting. To record 50 plus receiving yards. How about this? Tyler Warren or Michael Pittman are both plus money. And I do think that they're going to have to throw the ball in order to win this game. Rivers or Leonard, they're going to use their tight ends. Tyler Warren to get 50 plus receiving yards. That's my contingent pick.
Well, so no, I've got it written down.
Phillip Rivers, I need 2 touchdowns for Phillip Rivers. I don't need anything for Tyler Warren to fill Phillip Rivers' place. So that's
we'll
the
do.
Play. All right. So what the picks we have, I got to keep an eye on that Phillip Rivers thing. Let's stay on that for a second. Is this crazy?
Oh, it's crazy, and I'm here for it.
You think he'll play well?
He will play in a way that doesn't lose them the game.
Safe.
Yes. Does that make sense?
How many times will he throw the ball?
He'll get there 28.
So he'll throw the ball a lot.
Yes. He'll have to.
I tend to agree with you. Now, their game plan is a run-first offense. They know that. They're going to have to run the football. Seattle's got a very good defense. If they want to win, and they need this game, you lose this game, you're probably dead.
Massively.
If they lose this game, they're in a lot of trouble. And you're not going to win this game playing safe with your quarterback, which is part of the reason why I think they brought Phillip Rivers in. Because he is a plug. Jeez. According to the Colts, he's a plug and play with the offense, and he knows what he's doing with the offense. He talks to Steichen. He runs it with his high school offense. Who knows? But the idea behind them bringing him in is they're not going to lose a step in trying to teach him an offense, because apparently he knows this offense. So because of that, if he's somebody who knows the offense, you're going to use him. You're going to throw the ball with him. I don't know if it's crazy. I'm kind of on the side of Cade. I don't think it's malpractice. It's weird that he's coming back after 5 years, but Rivers is a gamer. He's a gamer. He'll play. Comes from an old, hardened era of brute pocket passers. Matthew Stafford's been the only one carrying the torch recently. Rodgers is too old anyway. But Rivers got a little overshadowed by the Mannings of the world, Brady, Roethlisberger, Rodgers, you know, Matt Ryan. Guys like that overshadowed Rivers a little bit. Maybe he's going to have his opportunity here. Maybe he has his opportunity to show that there was better quarterback play then than there is now. And I'd make an argument there is. I'd make an argument that that era, 2007 to 2016, that 10-year period was excellent top-of-the-line quarterback play. And Phillip Rivers was sort of an unsung hero of that. Maybe you'll see it today. Or maybe he's going to go out there and he's going to look like a 50-year-old and they're going to lose by 38 points. Which one's more possible? Probably the latter. Nonetheless, that's Cade Chumson. Appreciate him keeping us up with the air today. Go download the Hard Rock Bet app today, and you can bet on just about anything. You can bet on game by game, player by player. Go download it and get $5 in. Bet it, win it, $150 into your account. Do it today. Offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus. Physically present in for the wager. If you or somebody you know has a gambling problem, please call 1-833-PLAY-WISE. Kate Chums and Colin Russo, Sunday Huddle, saying so long. We'll see you next time right here on ESPN 106.3.
The preceding program was paid for in full by Hard Rock Bet. Advice and opinions expressed during this program were solely those of the guests or hosts of this program and not of ESPN 106.3 or Good Karma Brands.